I never knew a man with so much imagination, lively intelligence, and instinctive comprehension. You sensed that he probed your thoughts and took stock of everything that you had ever done or might do. He seemed to catch at your next word before it was spoken. The play of his mind was dazzling, and his habit of close observation gave him a store of knowledge about innumerable matters. But his outstanding quality from so rich an endowment was the power of inspiring other men. Confidence radiated from him. You might be doubtful about something and discuss the matter with Mr. Carnegie. In a flash, he would make you see that it was right and then absolutely believe it. Or he might settle your doubts by pointing out its weaknesses. This quality of attracting others, then spurring them on, arose from his own strength. The results of his leadership were remarkable. Never before in history of industry, I imagine, was there a man who, without understanding his business in its working details, making no pretense of technical knowledge concerning steel or engineering, was yet able to build up such an enterprise. Mr. Carnegie's ability to inspire men rested on something deeper than any faculty of judgment. In the last sentence, Mr. Schwab has conveyed a thought which corroborates the theory of the mastermind to which the author of this course has attributed the chief source of Mr. Carnegie's power. Mr. Schwab has also confirmed the statement that Mr. Carnegie could have succeeded as well in any other business as he did in the steel business. It is obvious that his success was due to his understanding of his own mind and the minds of other men, and not to mere knowledge of the steel business itself. This thought is most consoling to those who have not yet attained outstanding success, for it shows that success is solely a matter of correctly applying laws and principles which are available to all. And these laws, let us not forget, are fully described in the 16 lessons of this course. Mr. Carnegie learned how to apply the law of the mastermind. This enabled him to organize the faculties of his own mind and the faculties of other men's minds, and coordinate the whole behind a definite chief aim. Every strategist, whether in business or war or industry or other callings, understands the value of organized, coordinated effort. Every military strategist understands the value of sowing seeds of dissension in the ranks of the opposing forces, because this breaks up the power of coordination back of the opposition. During World Wars I and II, much was heard about the effects of propaganda, and it seems not an exaggeration to say that the disorganizing forces of propaganda were much more destructive than were all the guns and explosives. One of the most important turning points of the First World War came when the Allied armies were placed under the direction of the French Marshal Ferdinand Foch. There are well-informed military historians who claim that this was the move which spelled doom for the opposing armies. Any modern railroad bridge is an excellent example of the value of organized effort, because it demonstrates quite simply and clearly how thousands of tons of weight may be borne by a comparatively small group of steel bars and beams so arranged that the weight is spread over the entire group. There was a man who had seven sons who were always quarreling among themselves. One day, he called them together and informed them that he wished to demonstrate just what their lack of cooperative effort meant. He had prepared a bundle of seven sticks, which he had carefully tied together. One by one, he asked his sons to take the bundle and break it. Each son tried, but in vain. Then he cut the strings and handed one of the sticks to each of his sons and asked him to break it over his knee. After the sticks had all been broken with ease, he said, "When you boys work together in a spirit of harmony, you resemble the bundle of sticks, and no one can defeat you. But when you quarrel among yourselves, anyone can defeat you one at a time." There is a worthwhile lesson in this story of the man and his seven quarrelsome sons, and it may be applied to the people of a community, the employees and employers in a given place of employment, or to the state and nation in which we live. Organized effort may be made a power, but it may also be a dangerous power unless guided with intelligence, which is the chief reason why the 16th lesson of this course is devoted largely to describing how to direct the power of organized effort so that it will lead to success. That sort of success which is founded upon truth and justice and fairness that leads to ultimate happiness. One of the outstanding tragedies of this age of struggle and money madness is the fact that so few people are engaged in the effort which they like best. One of the objects of this course is to help each student find his or her particular niche in the world's work, where both material prosperity and happiness in abundance may be found. To accomplish this purpose, the various lessons of this course are skillfully designed to help the student take inventory of himself and find out what latent ability and hidden forces lie sleeping within him. This entire course is intended as a stimulus with which to enable you to see yourself and your hidden forces as they are, and to awaken in you the ambition and the vision and the determination to cause you to go forth and claim that which is rightfully yours.